Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Dan Burke and theologian Father Fred Miller discuss Mother Mary's role in the spiritual life. Later in the show, Dan talks with Sister Angela Coelho about the cause for canonization for the children of Fatima, Blessed Francisco and Jacinta. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register. Jeanette DeMello is away this week. Thanks for joining us. Our first guest, priest and theologian Father Fred Miller, is well known for his scholarly presentations on Mariology worldwide. His current position is Associate Professor of Systematic Theology at Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland. Father, welcome to Register Radio.
I'm very happy to be with you.
Father, I'm grateful to have you join us to talk about Mary in the month of May. You've been a particular blessing in my life in your own scholarship on Mary and your expertise. Last summer, when I was going through my first consecration as a convert, thanks for helping us understand a bit about Marian devotion. Of course, the month of Mary began in the 13th century as a move to Christianize some secular feasts and foster more appropriate devotion. And the practice became more popular among the Jesuit order in the 1700s. And then it began to spread much more broadly. And it was indulgenced in the 1900s with Pius VII and Pius IX in 1859. It would be great if you could give us an overview of how it is that we can draw our hearts to this devotion.
Well, you know, Dan, I've always thought that May is Mary's month because in my experience living on the East Coast in the United States, May is probably the most beautiful month.
Huh.
When everything is in bloom, the winter is past, and the weather is perfect. And so that reflects the beauty of our Blessed Mother and helps us to think of that beauty. It's also right after Easter. You know, I always taught in the course on Our Lady that we honor her especially on Saturdays because on the first Holy Saturday, when everyone was confused and up in the air about what had happened to Christ, not knowing what he really meant by the resurrection, Mary was the only one who believed with a steadfast heart. She believed that he was going to rise from the dead. She knew that he would rise from the dead. And therefore, we honor her faith every Saturday. And May is usually in the Easter season, most of it anyway, so we continue to remember and honor Mary's faith in Christ and in the resurrection.
She was the one who never lost hope, never lost faith, and had a greater understanding of what was happening, and thereby can lead us into that deeper faith and understanding. Father, our friendship started with you helping me overcome challenges with respect to Marian devotion. Tell me a little bit about your experience with others who may be like me or struggle in other ways to partake in this great blessing of Marian devotion.
Many people think that devotion to Our Lady is going to take away from the devotion to Christ, that she's going to get in the way and be an obstacle to that personal, comprehensive relationship with Him. And devotion to Mary flows from the devotion to Christ, from the worship of Christ. We don't worship Mary, we give her the highest honor, but we honor her as we do because she's the Mother of God, she's the Mother of Christ. Our devotion to her doesn't distract us from devotion to Christ, but rather centers us on Him. So I think that has to be experienced by people. Devotion to Mary does not in any way take away from the centrality of Christ, but rather serves the centrality of Christ in the Christian life.
So Father, give me some examples bringing us to Christ rather than distracting us away.
Well, Christ lives in us through grace. So when we are baptized, we're incorporated into Him. We live in Him and He lives in us. And all sorts of relations flow from that baptismal meeting with Christ. So because He lives in us, we begin to love His Father as our Father. We call Him Father, Abba. His mother becomes our mother in the spiritual sense. And so our love for Mary is a participation in His love for her, and we begin to love all of the other children of God as our brothers and sisters. That all flows from our baptismal grace. So the Christian's devotion to Mary is really a sharing in Jesus' love for his own mother. St. Maximilian Kolbe, the great saint of the 20th century, used to ask people, is it possible to love Mary too much? And the answer that he wanted was, no, it's not possible to love Mary too much. But very often people would say, yes, it is, because it gets in the way of the love of Jesus. And he would say, well, you love Mary too much only when you love her more than Jesus loves her. So the model of our love for Mary is always Jesus' love for her.
Huh. So the number one barrier is the misunderstanding that any love for Mary would thereby take from love of God, if you will. What are the other barriers that you see are fairly common to Marian devotion?
Well, I suppose there's a prejudice that's out there against Mary. Some non-Catholic Christians say that we worship her, that we treat her as a goddess, and certainly the Church never comes close to saying anything like that. We do not worship Mary. We only worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we give Mary the highest honor because she's the human person who's closest to God. She's the only human person who can call God my son. That's a big problem, that there is this prejudice that says that Catholics make Mary into a goddess, and that's just not true, and there's no way that that can be proven.
In both cases, I struggled with that as a convert, and it didn't keep me from coming to the Church, but certainly when I came in, I made the commitment that I don't understand Marian devotion, but if this is Christ's Church, I will submit to him and the wisdom that comes by the Holy Spirit in and through the Church and learn that. So I began, even shortly after my conversion, to pray the rosary. And I have to say that most of my Marian devotion, it's developed into a full rosary every day. It's a bit of a mystery to me. I'm very comforted by it, but I can't necessarily put into words, of course, as well as you do, because you teach on the subject and are a scholar in the subject. Nonetheless, I can say from experience that giving in to this reality of the wisdom of the Church has given me a rich experience of essentially having a mother that I didn't necessarily have. I had a physical mother, of course, but our relationship wasn't all that positive or affirming. But I have a sense now that I have a mother. It reminds me of Jesus saying to John, "Behold your mother," and John is the representation of all mankind. I understand Jesus saying to me, in a sense, "Behold your mother. This is your new and perfect mother. Follow her. She'll lead you to me." So if we're wrestling with maybe some aspects of Mary, or we're listening to Protestant arguments, this is a great month, I think, to buckle down and to push that aside and say, I'm going to lean into the Church's wisdom. What are some things that we might do that would help us deepen our Marian devotion?
Well, I'd like to talk, Dan, to someone out there who's listening who has had no devotion to Mary and may be very suspicious of it, but is somehow drawn to it. The Holy Spirit and Mary are very close, and so when we feel drawn to Mary, when we feel that we need a mother in the Spirit, a spiritual mother, that could be a good indication that the Holy Spirit's at work in our hearts. I would say do something very simple. Find a picture of Mary, and every day just spend some time with that image of Mary, telling her about the day. Tell her what happened today. Tell her pain that you have today, sorrow. Tell her about the joys of the day. Just start a friendship with her. And if you have trouble relating with her as your mother, then relate to her as a fellow believer in Christ. Talk to her as a fellow Christian, or talk to her as your sister. And I think that friendship with her as fellow traveler, as sister, will move in the direction of understanding her as your mother in the Holy Spirit. So all I would suggest for the beginner, just those 2 minutes every day to build a relationship and see where the Holy Spirit brings it. There are other devotions for those who already know Mary and who have a friendship with her. The rosary is a great way to come into communion with her every day. And through the rosary, she brings us directly to Jesus, because the rosary is the meditation on the mysteries of the life of the Lord. It's good to wear some sign of Mary's motherhood. People wear the medal of the Immaculate Conception, which is also called the Miraculous Medal. It's called miraculous because people who had lost the faith found the faith again through their friendship with Mary. The scapular is a Marian sacramental, which reminds us that we're under the mantle of Mary. There are prayers to her that we can say. We can find them online. The Litany of Loreto is a beautiful prayer with many, many petitions to Our Lady, honoring her under different titles. So, I mean, I think that there's a wealth. I know that there's a wealth of devotional material out there. But let's say, let's take the first step just by talking to her and entering into a relationship with her and listening to her speak to us in our hearts.
Excellent. Well, Father Fred, it's been great to have you with us. Our time is far too short for this topic, but I think at the very least, I hope we've given some hope and direction to deepen their devotion to Mary in the month of May. I might also point our listeners to a great apostolate that helps men in particular pray the rosary. It's called Real Men Pray the Rosary. David Calvillo is the leader of that apostolate. You can find that online and on Facebook, and he'll give you a great challenge and some insights into other ways that you can deepen your devotion during this month of May. Once again, Father, thank you, and God bless you for all you do.
Dan, it's been great to talk to you.
When we return, we'll talk about the Fatima children, Blessed Francisco and Jacinta, with the postulator for their cause for canonization. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. More in a moment.
Dr. Ray Guarendi talks about the National Catholic Register.
The Register is catechetical news. In other words, it teaches the news from the perspective of the catechism. And you can learn all kinds of good things about the church and faithful living through the Register. They cover a wide, wide range. Catechesis, explaining the faith, what's going on in the world, in the Vatican. Good, solid Catholic journalism. The Register helps people cut through the spin. There's no spin in the Register. It is faithful Catholic teaching, analyzing of the news from a Catholic perspective.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. Our next guest, Sister Angela de Fatima Coelho, is a religious sister from the Congregation of Alianza de Santa Maria and a medical doctor. She was born in Portugal and lived in Porto, where she attended high school. She graduated in medicine from the University of Porto and taught in its Faculty of Medicine. She joined the Congregation of Alianza de Santa Maria in 1995. In 2008, she graduated in religious sciences from the Pontific University of Comillas in Madrid. She practices medicine in the Hospital of Leiria in Portugal. She teaches theology in the Center of Formation and Culture of the Diocese of Leiria Fatima. In 2009, she was nominated Assistant Vice Postulator for the cause of canonization of Francisco and Jacinta Marto, and Roman Postulator in 2012. Sister joins us today to discuss the cause of Blessed Jacinta and Francisco Marto. Our listeners know them very well as two of the three children of Fatima. Sister Angela, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you very much, and I am so much pleased about the invitation to be here in EWTN Radio.
Well, Sister Angela, it's great to have you with us. And Register Radio, if you could, a brief summary of the story of Jacinta and Francisco.
Yes, Francisco and Jacinta, they were brothers and sisters, and along with the cousin Lucia, in 1917, they had the apparitions of the Blessed Mother in Fatima. At that time, Jacinta, she was 7 years old. Francisco was 8 years old and eventually became nine during all the process of the apparitions, and Lucia was 10 years old. But everything started in 1916 with the apparitions of the Angel of Portugal. 43 times he came to see the shepherd children, and introduced the three children into the great spiritual love of God. Then Our Lady came, and all of this introduced them in a life of prayer, of sacrifice, and commitment for others. So after the apparitions, we can see our three shepherd children completely transformed by the grace of God, and very willing to offer themselves for the reparation of sins around the world. Eventually, Francisco died 2 years later after the apparition, 1919, with just 10 years old, almost becoming 11. And little Jacinta, she died in 1920 in the hospital of Lisbon, the capital of Portugal, with 9 years old, almost becoming 10.
And both of them died of influenza?
Yes, it was an epidemic that came in Europe after the First World War.
Now, there are a number of unusual things about their canonization and this process and their story. And one of them is that prior to their cause, is it true that there were no children who were canonized who were not martyrs? And so this is very unique that's happened with them.
Yes, really, this is a very unique cause for two main reasons. Because they are the youngest blessed in the history of the Church. Prior to them, it was not possible for the Church to canonize or beatify people who die less than 15, 16 years old that were not martyrs. So these are the first non-martyrs children of the Church that are being blessed. And the other thing is that because of them, they forced like a little bit the Church to reflect on if is that possible that children could practice the virtues in an heroic grade. And because of their example, they changed this law in a way, and they opened the door for many children cases to be beatified, now can come into the Vatican because of Blessed Francisco and Blessed Jacinta.
So just to recap, the key is that the question prior to this process was, can you see heroic virtue demonstrated in the lives of people who are so young and who have lived so little, if you will, and has it matured in them? You mentioned a moment ago about prayer, sacrifice, and commitment for others. I think these are three key elements that are exemplified in their lives. Tell us a little bit about that.
In the lives of Francisco and Jacinta, we can almost see completely the entire summary of the message of Fatima. For example, in little Francisco, we can see a boy completely centered in God. God was the center of his life. They were led by the angel to do adoration, to understand how adoration was important, to see God, to understand who God is, the true image of God, and also to understand whom we are. And Francisco was a little boy completely, completely centered in God. One day, for example, before he died, Lucia asked him for so many intentions when you'd arrive to heaven. And he told her, Lucia, these things you ask them to Jacinta, because when I arrive to heaven, I'm afraid to forget them. Because when I see Jesus, I just want to console him. So he was the little consoler of Jesus, of God, on earth and also in heaven. Jacinta, she had a different heart. One day in prison, because they were kept in prison for 3 days in August 1917, she was crying because she was missing mom and she was in a such strange environment. And Lucia asked her, Jacinta, why do you cry? Why don't we offer this sacrifice for an intention? Okay, let us offer. You choose one. To console Jesus, to make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, for the conversion of sinners, for the Holy Father. Which one do you choose? Jacinta said, I choose them all, because I love all these intentions. So in the spirituality of little Jacinta, we can see not only this completely love towards God, but also she was completely committed to what Our Lady showed them. And Our Lady showed them, among other things, the suffering of the Church, in the person of the Holy Father, but not only, and the suffer of people with the wars and sufferings, and also hell, the scatological problem of our salvation. And Jacinta felt committed to all of that. So immediately she kept all these intentions in her heart. And she became a great interceder for the conversion of sinners, for the Holy Father, for the peace in the world. And she made so many sacrifices that, for example, when Pope John Paul II beatified them, he said publicly on May 13, 2000, I want to say thank you to Blessed Jacinta for all the sacrifices she made for the Pope.
Fantastic. It's such a fascinating story. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're with Sister Angela de Fatima Coelho. We're talking about the canonization process for Jacinta and Francisco Marto. And Sister, tell us a bit about, if you could, the process and how it has progressed. Of course, you are not the first participant in this. It's recently been given to you as into your primary care. But give us a little bit of the history.
So the process started back in the 50s because they died with fame of sanctity, you know, with the signs of sanctity. So they immediately started their cause, two separated causes, Francisco and Jacinta, in the 50s. So all the process together, the witnesses, the testimonies, arrived to Rome on 1979, and my predecessor, Father Condor, was vice postulator, thought that the cause was in Rome, in the Vatican. That's when he realized that it was not possible to canonize or beatify children. So he was all around the world to ask people and even bishops to write to the Pope to ask for the canonization of the children, and that happened until 1981. So that famous meeting in the Congregation of the Saints to study the possibility of children, if they were possible or not, to become saints, was in April of 1981, the last days of April and the first day of May. So in that time, that was really when the cause started. So in 1989 was signed the decree of heroicity of virtues. So they became venerable in 1989. And later on the 19th, the miracle was approved, the first miracle, and they became blessed on May 13, 2000. So right now, we are looking for a second miracle in order for them to be canonized. That's why I'm also here to ask people to pray for the canonization of Blessed Francisco and Jacinta.
Well, and that leads to an interesting aspect of this story. There were three children there, of course, right?
Yes.
And this is important with respect to asking for intercession and helping with this process. Why are we only dealing with two and not, in this case, with the servant of God, Lucy?
Oh, that's a great question, yes. Because, well, Lucia, Sister Lucia, she did not die as a little shepherd. She died as a Carmelite nun. So her process, her cause, is a completely different cause and a completely different process. She is with the Carmelite order. So the Roman postulator is the general postulator for the Carmelite order. And the vice postulator is in the Diocese of Coimbra.
And so important with respect to the advancement of the cause of Jacinta and Francisco is that we pray in a very specific way for their intercession.
Yes.
Right? And we have a prayer that we can pray for our listeners.
Prayer for the canonization of Blessed Francisco and Jacinta. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I thank you for the apparitions of the Most Holy Virgin in Fatima. By the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I implore you, if it should be for your greater glory and the good of our souls, to glorify in the sight of your Holy Church, Blessed Francisco and Jacinta, granting us through their intercession the grace which we implore. Amen.
That's excellent. And so this prayer will also provide on the Register Radio Register website. When we send this out, it will also be available on EWTN. And where else can folks find out more about the cause and the text of the prayer and get specific updates about what's happening?
Yes, if anyone has to communicate as a grace, they can check in our website, which is www.pastorinhos.com.
And that's PASTORINHOS.com. We'll also have that on the website. Tom, you had a question.
I was just wondering, on a personal standpoint, you've been working on this cause for about 5 years now. Do you feel like you really know these children? Are they like a part of your life at this point?
Yes, they are very much a part of my life at this point. But little Francisco is more mysterious.
Mm.
He is a very deep boy. We need some time to get his heart, to his heart. But little Jacinta, she's much more expansive, you know, much more exteriorizing her feelings, but I can feel them very closely to me. That's true.
from what I've read about the children, Francisco really had quite a conversion, because he was more like a typical boy, you know, always, you know, getting into a little bit of trouble here and there, but then really had a big conversion, right?
Yes, Francisco was very much like that, but I also think Jacinta has, at least when we read Lucia's memoirs, we can see, for example, that Jacinta, she was very oversensitive, that when things were not like exactly she was expecting, she would not be very happy with that. We can see from the life of them before the apparitions that the center of their own lives were themselves. Jacinta was the center of her life. I think more or less sometimes like we in our personal lives.
Sure.
So the greatest challenge of these two children to us is that we can see because they had the great experience of being so much loved by God, they had the strength to accept and to change that the center of their lives were no longer themselves, but Jesus, Mary, and the others. So I think this is also one of the greatest challenges for our sanctification process, that we accept that we are not the center of our lives, but those that we meet in the sacraments, in the prayer life, that we can meet daily so we can do acts of charity.
Well, they are still teaching us, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They really are.
And I think they are more than ever, because that page of the gospel when Jesus says, if you do not become like a child, you will not go into the heaven, the kingdom of God.
Yes.
I think they are these two models that, especially to us men and women of the 21st century, you know, so much well-educated, so much we need to become like these children in order to understand God.
Sister, thank you so much for being with us on Register Radio and bringing a much greater depth and, I think, insight into the wonderful cause for Jacinta and Francisco and for your work in spreading the message of Fatima. We're grateful. God bless you for all you do, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much. It's my honor.
Thank you.
God bless you too.
Don't forget, you can listen to the show again by going to ncregister.com. Look for that picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks again for joining us here on Register Radio. For our producer, Elena Rodriguez, Jeanette, Dan, and all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Register Radio is sponsored by Ignatius Press, the premier publisher of outstanding Catholic books, magazines, videos, and music, faithful to the magisterium of the Church. On the web at ignatius.com.